Thank you, sir. I want to thank the Lord today for this privilege and opportunity to be here. I tell you, I want to thank the Lord for all his many blessings and all that he's done for me, for my family, and being a merciful, long-suffering God. If it wasn't for the Lord's mercy, we'd all be consumed. And I'm glad he don't give us what we deserve. I tell you, he deals with us tenderly. He's a just God, a holy God, and he's pure. And he deals with sinners. He forgives sin, and he will pull you up out of the putmire of sin. He will forgive you of all your sin. If you confess your sins to God, he will cleanse you of all your sin. And I'm thankful to know that today God will deal, and he loves man. He gave his son that we would have life and have it more abundantly. He sent his son to the world not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved, because he loved the world. He loved us. He loved what he created. When God seen and all that he created, he saw that it was good. And then when man fell to sin, it grieved his heart. It repented God that ever made man because of sin. God can't look on sin. God cannot look. He's a holy God. He don't know sin. He can't look on sin. But yet it grieved and repented the heart of God because of the way man failed. And man is still continuously to do that, to turn their back on God and just go about their ways and serve their idols and their images and the things of this life, putting all kind of things before him, and then just expecting God to bless them. And they don't even think about calling on the Lord until there's trouble, and then they'll call on him. And I'm glad they do call on him. I hope, pray that they would, and really just get real and honest about themselves, and God will help them. God will forgive sin. But back in the time, and it still is, God's people of Israel and how they served their idols and their graven images that they set up, and their heart was far from God. They came, they honored him with their lips, but yet their heart was far from him. And that's the type of time we're living in today, where mankind, they'll talk about God and they'll worship God with their lips, but their heart is far from them. They're interested in what they want to do and what they may go and obtain and anything that may bring them kind of pleasure, and not being honest about them, themselves, and about their sins. And God's going to deal with that. God's going to deal with sin. He's going to deal with those that just use God. But yet God will have mercy upon man. He always has. And I'm thankful that he does. The Lord does know, and he talked about it, about the heart of the flesh is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, and who can know it? He talked about the cursed man that maketh flesh his arm, and he trusted in man. The Bible said, cursed is that man, but blessed is the man that trusts the Lord, and in whom the hope of the Lord is. And the Lord will bless that person. He'll bless them. He said, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It bring forth fruit in due season. It's going to be blessed. It's going to be nourished and grown up. But yet those that do not, those that are cursed, it's going to be like a degenerate plant unto him. They're not going to have anything to bring. They won't have any fruit. They will be lost because they made flesh their arm. And I'm thankful to know today that I can lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. I can lean on God. He's my strength. And I tell you, I don't have no faith in this flesh of mine. I have no desire to run in my flesh, and I tell you, I'm not nothing that I can do. I don't put any stock in what I can do, but it's what God has done. And I know if I just give my heart to him and just give my will over to him, in other words, just surrender my all to him and let him do it, let him live it through me, then it'll get done. And I tell you, he will glorify his name, and souls will be saved. And that's what it's all about. It's up to us, we that are saved, to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow after him, and love the lost, and pray for those that are lost and hell bound. We're to pray. We're to get them in the presence of God. And that's what God saved us for. And that's what I want to do. I want to let my eye affect my heart. I want to be able to look out and see the need and pray with sincerity, with a fervent prayer, with the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when we look on them with compassion, if we look on them with God's eyes and the way Jesus did when he was on earth, and how his mind was always on others, and he still is, He's that great high priest that's sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding prayers for the saints according to the will of God. And if we'll let our eye affect our heart, then He will hear and answer prayer. Like my pastor said for many years, that God is already merciful, already willing and ready, and He's just waiting on us. God's already compassionate. He's already that way, but He wants us to be that way. And then we'll touch the heart of God. We can pray by faith. And by faith, the Bible said He will do things. And the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. And we're to not only live by faith, but love, and to follow that. And which is the greatest of all is the charity, the gift of charity. The Bible talked about love, and we're to love one another and love the world, love the sinner. The Bible says love them and care for them and pray for them and get them in the presence of God, who's only mighty, who's only, well, able to save and bring them out of their sin. And I'm thankful that He is. I'm thankful that He had mercy on me. He answered prayers. Prayers went up for me about my soul before I ever was saved. And God heard and answered those prayers. They got me in the presence of God. Somebody was touched. Someone was broken. And someone was really fervent in their prayers. And they got me in the presence of God. And God dealt with me. I'm so glad that He did. He dealt with me young. I didn't know nothing about life, but I did know by hearing the Word of God that I was a sinner, that I was lost, and I've done wrong, and I needed a Savior, and I believed that, and I started seeking God. I started calling on God. I wanted help. I wanted the Lord to help me and to give me peace and give me joy and just take away the grief that I was carrying every day. And I tell you, He did exactly that. And then some. I tell you, it's better to me than I ever thought it could have been. And I tell you, He just got alive in me, changed my life completely, turned me around, and gave me something to live for. And I owe Him my life. And I want everyone today, I want everyone to get saved and experience what I've experienced. And everybody's been saved. I want you to experience what they've experienced in the Lord and to know Him. I tell you, you're not complete. You're not satisfied until you get saved. You're lost and you're going about and you don't have any guidance. You don't have a shepherd to guide you, and then He will guide you, but you got to become His child. You got to call on Him. And I tell you, when you do, He'll guide you. The Lord's merciful to the just and the unjust, and He helps those that are not saved, even especially those that are under prayer. But God is merciful and He helps. But when you get saved, it's a personal relationship. There's a personal walk with God. And I tell you, you have that fellowship. You don't break it. In the beginning, that's the way it was with Adam and the Lord. And Adam and Eve, the Lord walked with them and they talked with Him, and they had that openness, and they had that where they had that good relationship. But when sin and when they fell to sin, and that's when it broke the fellowship, and they went and hid themselves and sewed them fig leaves together to cover their sin. They realized they were sinners. They had shame. They hadn't had shame before. They've had that just a personal fellowship and time with God, just one-on-one, and God speaking to them audibly and them speaking to God, and they're in the garden. And I tell you, that's the way God intended for it to be. But when man fell to sin, the Bible said that the Lord said in the beginning, and if you eat of that tree that's in the midst of the garden of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. The very instant you do, you're going to die. And the Satan lied to him, said, "Thou not going to surely die. God just doth know if you eat of it, you're going to be like Him. God's holding back on you. You're going to be a God. You're going to have some great knowledge and wisdom and so forth. And you're going to be able to do well." He lied to him, lied to her. And she took of that fruit and she saw that it was good. That's the way the devil works on people today. The same way, the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He worked on the pride of what she would become. And then he looked and worked on that lust that was of the eye, which she saw that was good for food. And then what it would taste like. And things of that, of lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, how it would taste. But yet the Lord was merciful to man. I'm so glad He has been all these years. But they got saved. Adam and Eve got saved. And they began to talk to their children when they were born about God and what God requires. And God's always required a sacrifice and for man to give their heart and life to Him. And I tell you, from that point on, it was told unto them that there was going to be a suffering lamb. There's going to be a sacrifice of a lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish. And it talked about that. It talked about Cain and Abel. And Abel was able to, he brought forth the right sacrifice that God told him they should bring. It took blood. But yet Cain went and worked up on the ground, and he brought the things and the fruit of the ground, but not of the blood. And so his was rejected because he tried to do it himself. But God said, this is what you do, and this is what I require. And it required a sacrifice, and the right type of sacrifice. And Jesus became that sacrifice. He came. He was that suffering lamb. He came and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to die for sinners. He died an awful death. And he paid the price for sin, that he may redeem man back to God. And he did exactly that. He become that our Passover. He is that Passover lamb. And he was the one that came. And he's the one that came to die. And he said he'd come into this world. And he died for sinners. And he did that we would have life and have it more abundantly, of course. But yet he died because God sent him. God, he come to do the Father's will. No one took his life. He gave his life. They could not take him beforehand. They could never kill him. They could have never took him. But yet he gave himself to them because he knew that this was of the Lord. This was of the Father. This is something that he must do. He prayed that this cup may pass from him when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prayed, I mean, just in such heaviness. He talked about that, just great drops of sweat and so forth that came out like drops of blood. And I tell you, he was in so much of heaviness. It could have been blood. I don't know. But I do know that the Lord was there, and he prayed that if it be the Lord's will, that this would pass from him. But he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And there come Judas Iscariot to come and to reject him and to... that's exactly what he did. He came and he become one that he rejected the Lord, and he could have repented. He could have gotten saved even after that. He could have prayed and could have got honest, but he didn't. But he continues to go, and I tell you, he died. He lost his soul, and he went to hell because he rejected the Lord Jesus, his greatest friend. He loved him. He died for him too. But yet he rejected him. He turned his back to him instead of turning the face to him. He should have got down on his face and repented, and God would have forgave him. And God gave him opportunity to repent, but he didn't. He didn't confess. He didn't get honest about himself. And he sold out the Lord for 30 pieces of silver is what he did. And he went and he was the thief. He held the bag, and that's all he was concerned about. And be careful what you do today. You're selling yourself out. It may be money. It may be fortune and fame. It could be anything that you just turn yourself away from God and say, I'm going in this direction, and I'm going to have this and have that, and I'm going to just reject and cast everybody aside. Whoever gets in my way, I'm going to do whatever I can to get rid of them that I may attain my goal. And you be careful what you do, because God's going to deal with you. He will deal with sin. But if I see my time's quickly come and gone today, my prayer to God is, if you're not saved, that you'll come to him, that you repent, that you just confess your sin, and ask him to have mercy upon your sin, and he'll save you in Jesus' precious name. And amen.